The Cherokee Nation is searching for stories, photographs, and memorabilia to elevate the voices of Cherokee freedmen and their descendants. To learn more about this initiative, I'm joined now by Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin, Jr.
Thank you so much for joining me today to speak about the Cherokee Freedmen Project. And I guess we should start there. What do we mean and who are we talking about when we say Cherokee Freedmen?
We're talking about descendants of freed slaves of the Cherokee Nation. Slaves were freed in the Cherokee Nation, in the 1860s. By Treaty of 1866, freedmen and their descendants were given all the rights of Native Cherokees. That's an actual quote from our last treaty with the United States. And, you know, a century and a half later, the treaty obligation has been fulfilled in terms of citizenship. And so the Freedmen Project is really about giving, you know, deeper meaning to the freedmen experience and making sure there's an understanding of it. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the present day individuals that descend from those people.
I have to admit, I don't think I was incredibly familiar with slavery within the Cherokee Nation. I think it's something we often think of, you know, a white plantation owner, right? And limited to that. So this is a piece of history that I wasn't particularly familiar with. Is it more well known within the Cherokee Nation itself?
Well, it's becoming more well known, but I think what you've hit on is the reason that one of the reasons we're doing this, and that is that the knowledge of slavery within the Cherokee Nation is not deep and broad, if you will, in terms of the knowledge base. That includes within our own citizens and, of course, across the country. I did not become aware of the history of slavery within the Cherokee Nation until I was, you know, a college student, maybe the earliest time that I encountered it. But it is something that's important for the Cherokee people to understand. I think anytime an institution of slavery is part of your history, I think you have to recognize that history, accept it, and then find ways to move forward without doing what some other societies and cultures have done, which is to whitewash it or to ignore it. And frankly, even within our own Cherokee society, one of the reasons there's not a great depth of knowledge is that it's not something that we've openly talked about or acknowledged to the extent to which we should. Then you layer on top of that active efforts at different points, particularly in the 20th century, of Cherokee leaders to oppose the fulfillment of that 1866 treaty obligation.
And so this project can kind of be a way to have that conversation. When did this project, what are its origins? When did it kind of start taking shape? And what do you hope it'll be?
Well, it really, the first, I think, thoughts about it was my predecessor, Bill John Baker, when he was chief of the Cherokee Nation. I was his secretary of state. And one of the things he charged me with was not only making sure we abided by the letter of the law when it came to the treaty and a federal court order that issued while he was chief, but that we really embraced and celebrated the spirit of equality. And so I began to do some work on that while I was Secretary of State in terms of community engagement. And what I found was that so much of the freedmen experience needs to be told and should be told in terms of family stories and broader understanding of our history, because it is part of Cherokee history. So when I became chief, one of the things I wanted to do was to further that work. So in November of 2020, I issued an executive order on equality in the Cherokee Nation to make sure we were knocking down any barriers to freedmen access to programs and services and things of that nature. And in doing that, I sort of picked up the charge that my former boss had given me, which is we don't only want to adhere to the law, we want to make sure we celebrate the experience. And so I ask our sort of the best and brightest among our cultural people and history staff to put together this project. And that's what they did. So just a couple of months later, I think it was February of last year, we launched it. So we're here, we're a year in, and we're still going.
And right now there's a call for memorabilia. What types of items are you looking for people to contribute to this project?
Well, we'd like to see photographs and documents, other records that help tell family stories, which are very important to the Cherokee people. I mean, ultimately, we're a collection of families that have been together since time immemorial. And so those sort of family stories documented in photographs and records and letters and things of that nature are important. There could be any number of things that people bring, though. There could be some artifacts that we've never seen that they could bring forward that take us back to that period of slavery or after freedom was finally granted. Those are the sorts of things we'd like to see. As I go through studying Cherokee history, I will see photographs from some of the most important eras in Cherokee history, and that includes our post-removal period and post-Civil War period. What I don't see a lot is something that I know happened, which is that freedmen and their descendants were part of the civic life of the Cherokee Nation. And I think that those photos and those records exist. We've got to find them. And so this call is in part to focus on that part of history, which I think is particularly important. We're giving ourselves more time, though, to gather these stories because they have been slow in coming. I think there's some reasons for that, but I think it's all the more reason to be patient and continue to put the call out.
What are some of the items that you have received so far, and what is that new deadline?
We've received some photos, some historical documents, but we need more. And I think one of the things that we'll focus on during this extended period is getting some oral histories, because a lot of what is handed down in Cherokee tradition are those oral histories, those stories that are handed down, whether they're family stories or whether they're even some of our more significant stories for the larger Cherokee society that we share down through generations. We need to hear those stories. And I think focusing on doing an oral history, maybe giving folks an opportunity to record some of what they've been told from their parents and grandparents, I think that's important. We haven't gotten a great deal of that. And so this extended deadline right now is open-ended. I don't think we've set an end date on it yet. We've just extended it past the original February 15th deadline. And it could be that this goes on beyond some arbitrary end date, that we just need to continue to keep this open. But I am hopeful that over the course of the next year, we have enough of a collection that we can make it a part of our Cherokee National History Museum, where we do intend to this year create an exhibit on the freedmen experience. So that's my hope. I think we've got a great deal of work to do. I think we need to step up our outreach among Cherokees of freedmen descent. And I think talking about this subject continually helps make Cherokees of freedmen descent feel more comfortable coming forward. I hope that's the case.
With the folks that you have been able to connect with, do you find that that is an issue, that they don't feel comfortable coming forward?
Well, I don't think we've experienced that in those that have come forward. They quite naturally are opening up a part of their lives or their family stories. But I do wonder what may be the reason we haven't got as much response as I had hoped so far. And what I've thought about is, you know, for a century and a half, much of the freedmen experience was denied by a majority of Cherokee viewpoint and certainly Cherokee leadership. And then there were active efforts to strip freedmen descendants of their rights. And I think if we start to understand that history and think about the impact that can have on generations of people, I think we can start to understand where there may be A, some reluctance to come forward, and B, a dearth of the kind of information we're looking for. Denying that somebody was part of the larger Cherokee experience for generations perhaps made being Cherokee not a prominent part of their lives because they were denied their status. And so it may be that we've lost a great deal over the generations because of our own suppression of the freedmen experience. Sometimes I think about the fact that the Cherokee people have suffered mightily and still suffer today in terms of our own history being whitewashed, denied, marginalized. And we fight that all the time, and we try to make strides to tell our story. And it's difficult when the Cherokee people have for generations faced that sort of oppression and suppression. I think we have to be honest with ourselves that if we've done the same to people within our own Cherokee society, we'll get the same results. But I think the good news is that most Cherokee leaders today embrace what I've talked about here in this conversation, which is that we ought to celebrate the freedmen experience. We ought to make sure that equality is something more than just what's written on paper, that it's something we embrace every day in the Cherokee government. And I think if we continue to do that, to the extent that there's not a comfort level right now of coming forward and sharing those experiences, that there will be. And I'm patient. I think we ought to be patient after a century and a half.